Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Tuesday, March the 14th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And our top story today is that there have been more reports across Kent of cats mysteriously having their fur shaved off. Bosses at the Animals Lost and Found charity in Medway say they're so concerned they've started plotting on a map where the attacks are happening. So far, they've been told about cases from Northfleet to Dover, although the majority seem to be in Gillingham, Chatham and Rochester. Well, I've been speaking to Natasha McPhee, who's from the organisation.
Every person that's reported to us, we've asked for photographic evidence to say it's definitely a shave. We've asked them to report to the RSPCA, call 101, and take the animal to their vet just to clarify that there is a shave and it's not just a cat bite or a flea allergy or it's got caught on a fence or something. But the cases that have been sent through, there's been a number of cats that have literally had their whole side shaved off. There's one that has its whole belly shaved off. There's one that's being shaved off in random patches. It's absolutely horrible.
A really strange thing to happen. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Yes, I have actually. If you type in cat shave attacks into Google, it comes up from the top of Scotland all the way down to England, right across to America. It has happened in many different places, like Lincolnshire, Cambridgeshire, loads of places it's happened before, and it's like a reoccurring thing as well. Some people find it funny, and I'm like, well, imagine if your child come home with their head partially shaved and they were stressed because someone grabbed them and shaved their head. They're like, it's not the same. It is the same. These cats are part of people's family. People love their animals. Some people live for their animals. And some people just don't understand the severity of the situation and how much it causes not only stress to the owner, but to the cat as well. It causes them severe unnecessary stress. It is really terrible.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, some owners can't even get near their pets at the moment because they are so afraid. I mean, how long would it take a pet to recover from something like that? I guess every cat is different, aren't they?
Yeah, every cat is different. I mean, we get cats and like we've got a cat and at the moment, I can't get near him. But his owner managed to cuddle him at one point and somebody else did as well. But when a cat has been traumatized, same as a human has been traumatized, there are triggers for it, different noises, different smells, different sights. Like, for example, if, I don't know how this has been done, if it's been done with an electric shaver, if you can imagine, say, the one of the owners is male, goes into the bathroom, shaves his face, the cat hears that noise. That's an instant trigger for that cat again. So that cat will then revert back again and be stressed again. And not only that, it's a human that's doing it. So it's humans that they're scared of. So trying to build that rapport with that cat again, as you probably know yourself, as many cat owners know, dogs are always ready to party. Cats, you've got to really work at that relationship. And once you've got that relationship, once you sit, they set boundaries for you, and you sit and you're like, okay, that's your boundary. And once you've got that trust from that cat, it's like winning the lottery. Because they're very complex animals. People seem to think, oh, they can get on with it. They're quite wild. They can survive by themselves. They can't. They really can't. They do love humans. But when humans do this to animals, it's just, it puts them right back. And it's horrible to watch.
You've created a map because you've had so many reports of this. Can you tell us roughly where these attacks are happening? Do they seem to be concentrated anywhere or are they really random?
There are a few random ones, like, for example, today there was two in Ramsgate today that have just been sent through. But mainly it's ME5, ME7 and ME3 postcode areas. I believe there was three on one street in Chatham. I can't remember off the top of my head which street it was, but it was like literally in a line. So we've got those owners to keep each other safe and look out for everyone else's cats. And we're trying to explain to people, get some CCTV as well in your house, because there's nothing anyone can do, even the police. They put it down to criminal damage. But without physical proof or evidence, no one can do anything about it. No one can help anyone. It's It's very frustrating.
Thanks ever so much to Natasha for chatting to the podcast today. You can see the map that the guys have created by heading to kentonline.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
At the top stories for you today, and a man's been taken to hospital after being attacked near a children's playground in Swanscombe. Police and forensic teams were called to an alleyway not far from Broomfield Park yesterday. A car was seen with a smashed window. The victim was treated for a head injury and investigations are continuing. Elsewhere, a woman's been taken to hospital with serious injuries after a crash at a petrol station in Rootham. Emergency crews were called to the Shell garage on London Road yesterday afternoon. Only one vehicle is thought to have been involved in the collision and police are looking into how it happened. There's been another monthly rise in unemployment in Kent. An extra 80 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in January, taking the total to more than 37,500. National data shows redundancies are up at the moment and vacancies are down, with growth of basic pay also slowing. Now, hundreds of people gathered outside Parliament last night to protest against the government's controversial new asylum policy. Under the plans, anyone who arrives in Kent on a small boat would be banned from making a claim to stay here. Well, MPs discussed it in the Commons last night, and former Prime Minister Theresa May was among those voicing concerns.
Anybody who thinks that this bill will deal with the issue of illegal migration once and for all is wrong. A significant number, if not the majority of people who are here illegally, don't come on small boats. They come legally and overstay their visas.
The proposal was passed by a majority of 62, so it's one step closer to becoming law.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. People living in a village near Canterbury fear a massive super estate will destroy and swamp their community. The Cooting Farm development of more than 3,000 homes has been included in the City Council's draft local plan, which sets out where new housing could go. There's opposition, though, from residents in Adisham who'll say they'll fight the plans. The council leader backs the idea and says the houses will be of the highest quality. Our reporter Rhys Griffiths has been to Adisham to meet local people, and you can read his article in full at Kent Online. You're being urged to plan ahead as more rail strikes affect train services in Kent this week. Members of the RMT are due to walk out on Thursday and Saturday in their long-running dispute over pay. Southeastern say only 52 of their 180 stations will be open and services will start later and finish earlier than normal. The Ministry of Defence is being urged to scrap plans to close a military barracks in Maidstone. In Victor Park, it's home to the 36 Engineer Regiment and to the King's Gurkha Engineers, and is due to shut in 2027. But a local councillor is calling for a rethink as the government announces more spending on defence to tackle what the Prime Minister describes as emerging threats from hostile states. Now, junior doctors in Kent have been walking out for a second day. Members of the British Medical Association are striking until tomorrow morning in a dispute over pay. They claim staff could make more money working in a coffee shop than caring for patients. Well, Dr. Joseph Kendall was at a picket line outside Medway Maritime Hospital yesterday and spoke to our colleagues from KMTV.
I really wish that we weren't here today is probably the first thing that I would say. You know, we've been trying to talk to the government for 6 months for them to offer us a meaningful and fair pay deal, and they haven't come to the table to offer us anything. Despite what they've said over the weekend, there has been no pay deal put to doctors. So we're left with no other choice but to go on strike, which is something we don't want to do. I can try and give you a little bit of background as to why we're actually going on strike. So since 2008 to 2009, we've had a real terms pay cut of about a quarter, 26.1%. This means if you're a first year junior doctor now, you will graduate with around £100,000 worth of debt and start on £14.9 an hour. We just don't think that this is a fair wage for doctors. Doctors, as they progress through their training, continue to have extra costs, including registration to professional bodies, professional exams, which can run into thousands of pounds a year. We're in a situation now that is pushing doctors to leave the country. So doctors are going to Australia, New Zealand, they're going to other jobs in the corporate world where they're paid a lot more. I don't think it's a shock to anyone locally that we're struggling to recruit specialists, to get GP appointments. How do we get those specialists and GPs in the first place? We get it by training and retaining our doctors in this country. So that's why we're here on strike today. That's what we want to do. And we want the government to come to the table with a meaningful pay offer so we can stop these strikes.
And clearly a lot of support from people coming past, but What is your message to patients who have had appointments cancelled because of these strikes?
Firstly, I'm really sorry. I don't want to be in this situation. But the government isn't listening to us. We've tried and tried for 6 months just to get round a table and talk about a meaningful solution. They don't listen to us. In fact, the only time they started listening to us is when we had this ballot. But they're still not coming to the table with a meaningful pay offer. So what situation am I meant to do for my members? Am I meant to tell them that they've got to take a 16th year of a real terms consecutive pay cut and risk losing more and more doctors overseas and risk losing more and more doctors to other corporate jobs? No, I want to make the service better. I want people to stay here and train as specialists here.
Are you hopeful that, you know, 3 days now of strikes ahead of us, including today, are you hopeful that this will have an impact?
I'm hoping that the government will come to the table and negotiate with us. Our representatives, our JDC chairs, so that's the people that are representing our committee, are by their phones all hours of the day, ready to sit down, negotiate and get fair pay and stop these strikes. And that's what we want to do.
And then just finally, as a junior doctor in Kent, what are some of the conditions that you have to work in that you just feel are unfair, away from pay?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because unfortunately, you know, a lot of the things do come down to pay. And that is the main reason that we're out here today. But I'm not going to pretend being a junior doctor in this time is easy. You know, you're pushed on rotational training around the country, around the county. If you're on a training program in Kent, you can be moved anywhere in Kent, Surrey and Sussex with minimal notice. You've got to pay for all of those exams that I told you that are mandatory to progress through your training. You've got to pay for your indemnity fees. You've got to pay for your registration fees. You know, I think at the moment it is difficult to be a junior doctor in the UK. And on top of that, you're receiving that 26.1% pay cut since 2008 and 2009.
The Health Secretary says their calls for a 35% rise is unaffordable.
Kent Online reports.
A Lebanese restaurant in Margate has been given a food hygiene rating of 1 after a dead mouse and rodent droppings were found in the kitchen. Inspectors visited Pasha in Cliftonville last November and have criticised cleaning standards. The report says pest control measures have since been carried out. Tracy Emin has hit out at a lack of public toilets in Margate. The artist, who's from the town and has recently recovered from bladder cancer, says she finds herself begging to use facilities in shops. Well, a number of loos are currently closed while repair works are done by the council, who say port-a-loos will be in place until September. Now, if you head to the website today, you can see video of a water leak, which people living in Stelling Minnis say has left a road in a very dangerous condition. The problem on Dean Hill has been going on since January and started to create potholes. South East Water has apologised and repairs are expected to start immediately. Meantime, more than 10,000 water customers in Thanet have received compensation after being left without supplies for several days. A burst pipe affected people living in Broadstairs, Manston, Margate and Ramsgate in December, just days before Christmas. Southern Water say some payments have been delayed and anyone who hasn't got money should call their customer service team.
Kent Online News.
A Gravesend couple fear they'll have to cancel their son's annual birthday gala after the cost of living crisis led to a drop in ticket sales. Now, the event is held every year for 12-year-old Bobby, who was born with a condition that meant he had a life expectancy of just 2. The party in May at the St George Hotel in Chatham is to raise the vital funds needed for his care, where they're hoping to sell another 30 tickets to break even after rising costs. A couple who've taken over a pub in Dover say they're going to make it somewhere street food traders can work out of season. Joe and Laura Taylor already run an events company and hope the Lord Nelson will showcase some of the foodies they know. The idea is to give them access to the kitchen at the site on Flying Horse Lane in the winter, where Joe has been speaking to our reporter Sam Lennon.
We've got lots of different ideas that we'd like to do here. We're not planning on just opening the doors and waiting for people to turn up. We want to put on lots of different events. We're already talking to local bands and musicians. There's a lady who'd like to come and run a quiz here, which we're good for, and we have a lot of connections in the events industry, so we're excited about it. We think it's going to be something a bit different for Dover, and looking forward to seeing people down here really.
And the kitchen would be used in the winter, used suggesting by street food vendors who obviously wouldn't have that much trade in the winter. They could use your kitchen and trade here.
We will have our own bar menu on, which we're working on. We hope to have that out and live next week. But as I say, we've got a lot of experience doing different events across Kent and further afield. We work alongside a lot of really great street food vendors, people who pop up at festivals and other events. Yeah. And obviously that line of work, same for our mobile bars, dries up a bit come winter. So what we'd like to do is give them a space to come and carry on doing what they do, and give the people of Dover a chance to come and try these different cuisines of these very talented people.
And a Medway cafe chain has announced plans to open a rooftop restaurant in the centre of Chatham. Cafe Nucleus bosses have been approached about running the site at Mountbatten House above the Pentagon shopping centre. It comes as their original cafe in nearby Military Road is given a £50,000 upgrade. They're also due to open a branch in Raynham and have one on Rochester High Street.
Kent Online Sport.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is through to the last 16 of the Indian Wells Masters. She beat Brazilian 13th seed Beatriz Hadid-Meyer in three sets in California last night. The British number one from Orpington will play her next match in the early hours of tomorrow, our time. And finally today, a dad from Larkfield who lost a leg due to a rare disease is now touring the UK and Europe playing snooker after joining a World Disability League. Martin Bronco was diagnosed with something called Charcot foot 3 years ago, which leaves the bones in the foot incredibly fragile and able to break and dislocate. Well, the 42-year-old thought it would mean he couldn't continue playing his favourite game, but a prosthetic changed all that. He's been speaking to the podcast about the World Disability Billiards and Snooker Charity.
The people up there are amazing. They're so great and they're helpful, and they made it so easy for me to make that step. And then when you go for your first one, they just make you so, everyone just makes you so welcome. As I say, I didn't know I could do anything. So I'm quite a sporty person. I go football, used to play football, cricket and all that. And obviously golf and everything had to stop. And I didn't even think about snooker or anything like just playing a social event until I spoke to them, and they helped me out, and they told me what happens. And they said, basically, as long as you qualify, you're welcome to play. And but as I say, the whole lot of people, all the people that go, they're great.
Huge congratulations to Martin. You can also see him in action by heading to the Medway pages of Kent Online. And that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. You can also get an update of the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.